Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be for the Daf Kuf Nun Hey of the Daf Yomi Limud. If you are not familiar in a full sense with our marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. The Gemara that we will be picking up with today will start at the very bottom of Kuf Nun Dalet Amid Beis. If you are learning with us and learned the Daf Kuf Nun Dalet together with our site, then you might recall that we continued the Gemara onto Daf Kuf Nun Hey Amid Aleph till almost halfway down. It was necessary for us to spill over, so to speak, because we were in the middle of the sugya, and one would appreciate the continuity by having continued as we did. However, for those of you who are starting the daf today with us for the first time, namely yesterday's daf, Kuf Nun Dalet, you did not learn with us, so for your benefit, we will be picking up the Gemara at the bottom. And for those who already learned it, so this will serve as a bit of a review. We're picking up from the second line from the bottom of Kuf Nun Dalet Amid Beis, second word from the end of the line. We're in the middle of a series of questions with a back and forth structure. Questions that started with Rabbi Yochanan presenting his position that Hamoide b'shtar shekosvo ein tzorach lekaimo is a shita that's accepted l'divrei HaKol. At this point in the Gemara, however, the series of questioning changes, and hence we've provided a semicolon to realize that the next question and answer is not really part of that particular discussion. It's not really part of the continuity that was experienced just before, whereas till now we were discussing the issue of Moide B'shtar Shekosva Ein Tzorach L'Kaimo. At this point, the Gemara is going to ask that we find within Shitas Rabbi Yochanan a contradiction, whereby he seems to contradict himself. In the last piece of Gemara, he was masbir that the Chachomim in the Mishnah that mentioned Hamotzi Mechaveru Olav Haraya, the raya spoken about there was a raya that was that would be accomplished through kiyum hashtar, namely the receiver of the matana would have to verify the signatures in the document and thereby gain ownership of the property that was discussed in the Mishnah. Once again, the definition of raya that was featured in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan in the last piece of Gemara mentioned that it was a raya through kiyum hashtar. On Amud Aleph, however, Rabbi Yochanan explaining the chachomim in the Mishnah, where the Gemara suggested Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rav Huna, the raya that Hamotzi Mechavera Olav Araya would have to bring would have been a raya through Edim, namely the receiver of the gift would bring witnesses that would testify that the giver was healthy at the point that he gave the gift, and only through that the gift would stand. So to summarize very simply, the question is, on the one hand, Rabbi Yochanan says raya is through kiyum hashtar, whereas before Rabbi Yochanan suggested that raya was through bringing witnesses. Let us now read that in the Gemara. V'ha Rabbi Yochanan raya bi'edim ko'omar. Is it not so that Rabbi Yochanan Amud Aleph said that raya, the proof that the motzi chavero would bring, would be witnesses? How is it then that above, in the discussion that just preceded this, Rabbi Yochanan was explaining that the raya in question was verification of document. The Gemara answers, epuch. Switch it around. Namely, have Rabbi Yochanan saying that the raya that would be expected was, in fact, like he said just recently, through verification. And if you were to turn to the Gemara in Amud Aleph, when we were setting up the Shitas Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan as paralleling Rav Huna and Rav Chista, so we would have Rabbi Yochanan switched around and have him say, like Rav Chista, like Rav Chista that said the Raya was Kiyum Hashtar. So at this point, Rabbi Yochanan's position is Hamotzi Mechaveru Olav HaRaya, that the Chachamim said would be Raya through Kiyum Hashtar. If that be the case, what are we going to do with the whole discussion that started at the bottom of Kuf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, where we saw a story concerning a family in Bnei Brak, where their relative had sold property, and purchasers came along claiming that the sale was good, the family claiming that the sale was done under unacceptable circumstances because their relative that sold the property was a kotan. That story was brought in by Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara there as an attempt to show against Reish Lakish that Raya was through Edim. If that be the case, if we're switching Rabbi Yochanan around now, then maybe we should switch the questioner around as well. In other words, Reish Lakish should be raising the question from the Bnei Brak story on the opinion that says Raya is through Kiyum Hashtar, namely the Kasha should be from Reish Lakish on Rabbi Yochanan, who said Raya was Kiyum Hashtar, because from the story we see that it's easier to understand that Raya was through bringing of witnesses. To that the Gemara says, no, we're not going to switch that around. Loi. Hachi ka'amar lei Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Thusly, Rabbi Yochanan, who said that Raya is with Kiyum Hashtar, asked on Reish Lakish, Bishlomo ledidi diamino Raya b'Kiyum Hashtar. It works out well, according to me, that the Raya that the Motzi Mechavero has to bring is, in fact, through verification of the document. In the story with the family in Bnei Brak, who was the Motzi? The Motzi, as we explained in the Gemara before, the Motzi was in fact the Mishpacha, who were trying to be Motzi from the Lekuchos, the purchasers. How is it that the purchasers took possession of the property? Hainu de Mishkachas lo denachti Lekuchos lanechosim. In the story involving Bnei Brak, by having said that Raya is through Kiyum Hashtar, we could explain the story of Bnei Brak, how the purchasers descended upon the property, took possession of the property, the Mishpacha came along to complain, and Rabbi Yochanan went and pushed them off. We must emphasize that in Rabbi Yochanan's explanation, after a lot of switching around was done in the previous sukkah, it came out that according to the Chachamim, there was no need for them, the purchasers, to bring a raya, because he had switched around the entire discussion before, and it would come out that once there was moide b'shtar shekosvoi, once the family admitted that their relative had written the shtar, there was no further need for kiyum hashtar. So the purchasers were holding on to a document entitling them to the property. The family came along, and they were the motzi, and it would be upon them to bring proof to get the property away from the lekuchos. Elo l'didcha the amris raya b'edim, but according to you, Reish Lakish, that the raya mentioned in the Mishnah was a raya by bringing witnesses, and you did not switch around the Mishnah, and you have the chachomim saying hamotzi mechavero olov haraya, namely the mishpacha has to bring proof through witnesses in order to get their property back. Hechi mishkachas lo denachti lekuchos benachosim. How is it that the lekuchos ever took possession of the property? Omar le, Reish Lakish answers, as far as the story in Bnei Brak is concerned, I understand very well how the purchasers got possession of the Nechosim. I concede Ba'aror de Bnei Mishpacha that the protest of the family, the Lav Aror Hu, their protest is not considered seriously. My Ko'amri, what are they saying? Koton Hoya, that our relative when he sold the property was a Koton. After all, there was a shtar prepared. There were witnesses that signed the shtar. Chazoka ein hu'edim chismen al shtar ilim kein nase godol. It's a given that witnesses would not sign the shtar unless all parties were godol. Therefore, in the story involving the Bnei Brak, it's understandable how the purchasers were able to take possession of the property. However, as far as the case of our Mishnah is concerned, we had an apparent Shchiv Meira giving a Matona, and the claims were going back and forth. Was he a Shchiv Meira or a Bori? There, I insist on my pshat, says Reish Lakish, that the Raya would be through bringing witnesses. At this point in the Gemara, you see a slash mark indicating that the following Gemara is a new discussion. At the side, we present in our marking system topic headings. In this case, we have a Noisei Kloli, a general topic, and we've indicated that it lasts till Kuf Nun Vav Amud Aleph. Dine Yosoim Benichse Oviv. Halachas concerning the Yosom, a survivor, an heir, with regard to his father's property. After that, we have noted Nose, the local topic heading, Machlekes Me'eza Gil Yochol Yoresh Limkor Benichse Oviv. From what age is an heir allowed to sell his father's property? The Gemara, inside, Itmar. Koton, Memosai Mocher Benichse Oviv, a Koton who inherited his father's property, from what age is he allowed to sell landed property? We're going to notice a geometric form, a house form, surrounding Rav Nachman. The Gemara will be presenting, and we've also noted with numbers 1 and 2, Rava and Rav Huna Bar Chinina, two opinions within Rav Nachman. Rava Amar Rav Nachman, Ben Shmoina Asre Shana, that at the point he reaches 18, then, and only then, can he sell landed property that he inherited. Rav Huna Bar Chinina Amar Rav Nachman, Ben Esrim Shana, from age 20 and up. Mosiv Rebbe Zera. Rebbe Zera raises a question from a Tanaic source, and you can see that the source is of a Tanaic nature through the marking system, because in our marking system, Tanaic sources cited by the Gemara are enclosed in a frame marking. At the end of this source, the Gemara will pick up and say that this source will make more sense according to the opinion that said sales take place from 18. Because in this story, the issue of checking out the body of a deceased will come up, and that checking will have benefit according to the opinion that 18 years of age is the determining point from which point sales can take place. However, if you take the approach of 20 years old, the desire to check the body in this particular story will be difficult to understand. What were they trying to gain by checking? Of course, we will explain the details as we go on in the Gemara. Mosiv Rabbi Zera. Maisa b'Bnei Brak, b'echot shemochar b'nichsei oviv. An incident took place there, in that town, B'nei Brak, where someone sold property that he inherited from his father, Umeis, and that relative that sold the property himself died, ubo b'nei mishpocha b'yu aru, lomar koton hoya b'shas misa, and members of his family came along and protested, saying that the relative that sold was a koton when he sold, and hence his sale should be voided, and we should get the property back. Ubo v'shalu es Rabbi Akiva, mahu levodko. They came and asked Rabbi Akiva, what can we do? Can we check the body out to prove our case? Omar lahem, I atem rashoim lenavlo. He said to them, first of all, you have no right to desecrate the body. Ve'od simonim asuim l'shtanas lachar misa. And furthermore, any bodily signs that you might be able to show, they have a tendency to change after death, so that what you discover in the exhuming of the body will not be conclusive. Bishlam alamad omar ben shmona esrei shana. If you say that the age at which sales can take place is 18, hainu de ka'osu v'omrule mahu levodko. With that, we can understand what they were trying to accomplish by saying, can we check him out? And they would thereby say that if we don't find the necessary cyrus, the necessary hairs on his body, that would indicate he achieved godless, that would prove that he is a koton, and he would have the status of koton until 20. Elo, I amris mi ben esrim. If, however, you say that 20 years old is the determining point for which sales can take place, ki bod kule mayhave, by checking him out, what will that show? In other words, whether he has cyrus, whether he has those necessary bodily hairs, or whether he doesn't have those bodily hairs, he will be considered a gadol. V'hatnan. We have a source that says Ben Esrin Shelo Hevi Shtei Saris, a 20-year-old that has not brought forth the necessary two bodily hairs, Yovi Raya Shehu Ben Esrin, let the relatives of his widow, in the case of involving a man who died without leaving children, and the question arises regarding his widow, is she bound to Yibum to marry the surviving brother, or is she not bound? So a case like that, where a Ben Esrim died who did not bring forth the necessary heirs, Yovi Raya Shehu Ben Esrim, let the family of the widow bring proof that he was 20 years old. V'hu hasoris lo choletz v'lo miyabim, and by showing that he doesn't have the necessary bodily hairs, they would be able to exempt her, the widow, from yibum. We thereby see that even though he didn't bring forth the hairs, we're considering him a gadol, and we have a case of a 20-year-old that didn't bring hairs. As a result of that, we're going to consider him a soros, a person who's incapable, the dead man being a person incapable of reproduction, and as a result of that, the Torah exempts the widow of a soros from Yibum and from Chalitza. That being the case, we see that the absence of hairs on a 20-year-old doesn't show that he's a koton. If that be the case, what would have the exhuming of the body in the B'nai Brak story accomplished? The Gemara answers it certainly would have accomplished something. What we just mentioned, that bring evidence that he was 20 and then come to the conclusion that he was a Soros, that in fact is the case if we can show there was something called simone srisus. Only if we can show there were signs, additional signs that the Gemara in Yevomos presents, only if we can show that there were these additional signs known as simone soros, then we would conclude that he was a soros, and hence she would be exempted from ibul. However, if you have a case of a 20-year-old that does not have the simone srisus and does not have the necessary hairs, he in fact is a katan. The Gemara will say a little bit later he's a katan until age 36. And if that be the case, then the exhuming of the body, even according to the opinion that said 20 years old, would have accomplished something. We would have exhumed a body of a 20-year-old, and they may have been able to show that he had no Cyrus, and if so, his sale was no sale. Now we'll read that in the Gemara. Lav itmar alo, Omer of Shmuel bar Avitzok, Omer Rav, the who, that which we said that we would be machzikim, that we would consider in the Yibum story, we would consider him a gadol, that is only Chenodubo Simone Soros, that he had additional signs on his body indicating that he was a Soros. And therefore, as we said, the bedika, the checking out of the body in the case of the B'nai Brak story, could have revealed that he didn't have these simonim, and he still would have been a kotan had they shown that he had no Cyrus. Omar Rova de Konami. Rova says that you can see proof of this by careful reading of the source that we just saw a couple lines up. The kotani, it said in the source, the hu hasoris. You can use the arrows we provided in the little space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text between the Gemara and the Tosfos, showing you where that expression appeared a few lines up. By saying, the hu hasoris, and this is the soris, shma mino, we bring proof, we see from here that there must be extra additional signs that show he is the known soros, the official soros. V'chi lo noldu lo simoni soros ad kamo, and if there did not come forth those special simoni srisus, and he also did not bring forth the necessary cyrus for godless, ad kamo, until what age is he considered a katan? Tani Rabbi Chiya ad roiv shenoisov, until the majority of a person's years. So given that a person is assumed to be until 70, yemei shenoisem ad shivim shana, the pasuk says, therefore 36 would be considered the roiv shenoisov. So a person that does not produce Cyrus and does not produce simoni srisus, we will consider him a katan until 36. The Gemara continues describing a situation where people who appear to be delayed in bringing forth signs of godless come before Reb Chiya. Ki also lekame de Reb Chiya, he ikochish, if he who came in front of Reb Chiya was emaciated, omar lehu livri, he would say, let's get them healthy, let's fatten them up, if you will, and that will help us determine how to categorize the person. The Gemara will explain that a little bit more later. The ivri, if they're corpulent, if they seem to be extra healthy, omar lehu likhush, let them lose weight, let them become more emaciated. Tahani simoni, these signs, the signs of godless, zimnin de osu machmas kichishus, sometimes they come forth as a result of kichishus, zimnin de osu machmas brius, and sometimes they come forth as a result of brius. The Gemara continues. Ibayalaho. Gemara raises a question. And before we even continue with the Gemara, let us just point out that we have some new geometric forms. We have this crown form. This The purpose of this is described in the outside margin of our Gemara under the heading Mivneh. We feature the crown form, and we've indicated Simun L'tzerich HaGemara B'Soif Kuf Nun Vov Omer Aleph. The value of this particular simun will be fully realized when we get to the Gemara at the bottom of Kuf Nun Vov Omer Aleph. There the Gemara will paskin, will rule on the cases that are featured at the point the Gemara starts these markings. There'll be a list of rulings over there. If one has a personal volume of the Shas Ozer Bava Basra marked Gemara edition, he will notice by just glancing over the expressions Vehilchasa that appear numerous times, squiggle underlined, with numbers accompanying them. Those will be references to that which we see over here. As far as the Gemara is concerned at this point, we also have a Nosei Mivneh heading. Let us read our introductory remarks. Toich Shnas Shmunasre Gufei Oishnas Esrim Gufei. Within those years, in other words, a person who has not completed either 18 or 20, Lamar Kede Islei Umar Kede Islei, each one of the opinions according to his own Shita, according to his respective opinion. Kilifnei Hazman or Kilachar Hazman, is the 18th year or the 20th year of these people considered before the time, namely their sales would not be considered valid, or Kilachar Hazman, or person during his 18th year or 20th year respectively, would be considered after the Zman, namely they would be licensed to conduct the sale of landed property. We will have a house marking. That house marking features two opinions of Rav Nachman. They will be numbered off as we go on in the Gemara, Rava being one and Rabo Barav Shilo being the second presenter of a different opinion of Rav Nachman. Let's now continue with the Gemara. Hibaya laho. Toich zman. Kilifnei zman. Toch zman. The person within the 18th year, in other words, during his 18th year, where he hasn't completed the 18th year, or he's in his 20th year, but hasn't completed the 20th year, and he has brought forth Cyrus, he's brought forth hairs, indicating, of course, that he is a Gadol. Is he considered Lifnei Azman, and therefore his Mechira, the sale, would not be considered a legitimate sale, or Kila Achar Azman, and therefore the sale would be considered legitimate? Rav Amar Rav Nachman, Toich Zman Ki Lifnei Zman. According to Rava's version of Rav Nachman, the Tochzman is considered Lifnei, and therefore the Mechira is not good. The sale would not be acceptable. Rava bar Rav Shilo Omar Rav Nachman, Tochzman Kila Acharzman. And the second opinion says that during that particular year, during the 18th year or the 20th year respectively, is considered as if he passed the time and his sale would be considered legitimate. The ha de Rava who ruled that toch zman is kilifnei zman, lav beferish itmar elo michlola itmar. It was not said explicitly by Rava, however, it was derived from an incident that we saw. Most often, when the Gemara presents situations like this, lav beferish itmar elo michlola itmar, there's some weakness to it, and the job of the Gemara will be to show how we really cannot rely on that story or whatever incident it is to draw the necessary conclusion. The Gemara continues with the incident that led us to believe that which we said under Rovam Rav Nachman, that Tochzman was Klifnei Hazman. Dahu Tochzman, there was a case of a Tochzman individual that sold properties of his father that he inherited. The Osalakame de Rava, the case came to Rava. We're dash underlining Rava's name to draw our attention to the fact that our discussion concerns the opinion of Rava that we mentioned above. The case came to Rava, Omar Lahu, Lo Osov Lo Klum. The sale of this Toch Zman individual, it was during his 18th year or 20th year, is not a valid sale. Man Dechaza, he who witnessed this particular ruling, Savar Mishum De Toch Zman Kilifnei Zman. comes to the conclusion that that's because Rava has an opinion like that, that Tochzman is always judged as Lifnei Zman, Volohi. From here, from this incident, we should not draw that conclusion. Hussam, in the story that came in front of Rava, Shtusi Yaserta Chozobei, it was witnessed that this person exhibited foolish behavior, exceptionally foolish behavior, and as a result of that, Rava concluded he doesn't have the mental capacity to conduct proper sales. What was the shtus? What was this foolishness that he witnessed? Davika Meshachar Luhu L'Avdei. This person, who was Tochzman, was freeing his slaves. Rashbam points out that this is considered just wasting property for no gain. And hence, he would be considered unlicensed to conduct sales. But as far as someone who is normal, the question as far as what Rava's position is not clear. As we continue in the Gemara, we will glance at the outside margin, the Nosei, the topic heading that we've provided, Yosoim Pochos Mi'esrim Avo Me'al Gil Mitzvahs, an heir who is under 20 but is above Bar Mitzvah, Shiyodea B'tiv Masa U'matan, that is familiar with business conduct, that knows how to conduct himself in business, Mekhon Mekach U'Memkoron Memkar. We will discuss that the issue of their sales being legitimate sales and their purchases being legitimate purchases. Continuing in the Gemara, Sholach Lei Gidol Bar Menashe L'Rava Yilamdenu Rabbeinu. Teach us. Tinoikes Bas Arba Isrei Shana V'Yom Echad. We've noted in the Gemara, in addition to the dashed underline and Aleph and Beis, we want to focus on two aspects of this one individual for the purposes of the Gemara that will follow. So we're dealing with a girl that's 14 years old. 14 years old of the day. She's completed her 14th year. And Yoidas B'tiv Masu Matan Mahu. And she is bright and aware and knowledgeable of the nature of commerce. What would the din be with regard to her sales? Shalach Lei, Rava answers, Im Yoidas B'tiv Masu Maton, if she is conversant and familiar with the ways of commerce, Mekho Mekach U'Memkoro Memkar, her sales will be acceptable. As we go on in the Gemara, we see we've squiggled underlined and noted with an Aleph the word Felishlach. This draws our attention to another similar marking. Since an Aleph is mentioned here, is noted here, you seek out a Beis, and you'll see on the next line as well. The Aleph here corresponds to the Aleph that was just noted two lines up, where the Gemara said that the question that was posed to Rava involved a little girl. The Gemara asks, V'lishlach le tinok, why did they not ask a question concerning a boy? Answer, very simply, Maisa Shahoya Kahoya. The incident that took place was an incident that concerned a little girl, a girl who conducted sales of land. Another question, Velishlach Le Tinok Bas Shteim Esrei Shana V'Yom Echad. If our interest is a child above the age of godless, godless by a girl is achieved at 12 years and a day. What's the significance of having asked a question concerning 14 years old and a day? The Gemara answers, Maisa Shoya Kahoya. The incident that was presented to Rava was an incident concerning a 14-year-old girl. But in truth, if it was a matter of raising this as a theoretical question, the question could have been asked concerning a 12-year-old and a day girl as well. As we go on the Gemara, we note in the space immediately to the left-hand side of the Gemara text the word Maisa that's encircled with a vertical dashed line following it, indicating we have a story, an incident, and it will last the number of lines of Gemara that are parallel to this vertical dashed line. Hahu pochois mi ben esrim, de ozal zovin nichse Nichsi Avuhu Kigidol Bar Menashe. There was an incident of someone under 20 years old that went ahead and conducted sales of his father's property in accordance with Gidol Bar Menashe, who mentioned he was featured in the crown marking a few lines up, the number 2 crown marking, where if he is knowledgeable of the ways of commerce, his sales are good. So such an incident came to Rava, also the Kame de Rava. Now this incident came to Rava under the following circumstances. Though the sale was conducted on the presumption that he was knowledgeable of Masu Matan, the case came to Rava in order to reverse it with the claim that he does not know the ways of Masu Matan. Omru Le Krove. We've double underlined to draw your attention to the speakers, in this case his relatives. We feature this on the outside margin. We have the Nose Mivne heading with the double underline featured, Omru Le Krove or Lekuchos. Then this is a maisa indicating be'echad pochus mi ben esrim shemachar benichse aviv v'rotzo lachzerbo, where a sale of properties took place by an underage individual, under 20, and there was a desire to have the case, to have the sale reversed. So as the story goes on, we note omru le krove. Later on, we'll see the purchasers responding. In this case, the Krovim said to the Yosoim, they said to this young person who conducted the sale, Zil Achol Tamri, go and eat dates, Veshadi Be Kashi Sobe Rava, and throw the pits all over the floor of Rava's yeshiva. By doing this, throwing the date pits over the floor over there would show that he's a shoita, that he's a fool, and thereby be grounds for reversing the sale. Ovad Hochi, and he did thusly. Amalahu, Rava ruled upon seeing this behavior that Zvine, Lav Zvine, his sale is not legitimate. He was under 20 and he's clearly a fool and hence not someone we can categorize as Yodea Tiv Masu Matan, not someone who could possibly be well acquainted with commercial ways. Ki Kosvu Le Shtoras, they were preparing the Psak Din for the properties to be returned to this Pochos Mi Ben Esrim, to this fellow who conducted the sale. Amru Le Lekuchos, the purchasers turned to the Yosom, turned to he who conducted the sale, and they told him a point of wisdom, that he should say the following over in front of Rava, and thereby create the impression that he's wise and knows ways of commerce, and as a result of that they wouldn't lose their purchase. So what did they say? Zil Emole L'Rava, say the following wise remark, wise, smart idea. Megillas Esther Bezuzah Shtora Demor Bezuzah? Could it possibly be that one could purchase a Megillas Esther, which is a significant piece of writing, significant piece of work that needs a lot of writing in it to create a Megillas Esther, and one could buy that for Azuz? Should it be that the Shtar, the document, the Psak Din that you prepare, which is much smaller than Megillas Esther, should be costing the same amount? Such a statement would show awareness of values. So after the purchasers told the Yosom to say that in front of Rava, so the Yosom went and said it over to Rava. Omalu, Rava, upon hearing this, said, "Oh, Zvine, Zvine. His sale was a good sale." Omule Krove, the family of the Yosom that wanted to get the property back, said to Rava, "Oh, don't believe what he said. Lekuchos Agmaruhu. The purchasers trained him to say that, but he himself is a fool." Omalahu, so Rava responded to the family and said, Masberile Sovar. He's someone that, if something is explained to him, he seems to comprehend and able to say over what people explain to him. The Keva de Masbirilei, the Savar, since after being explained to, he then understands, Meida Yoda, he has sufficient wisdom. Then you'll ask, what about his throwing of the date pits? Behind the Ovar Hochi, the fact that he took the liberty of throwing the date pits all over the yeshiva floor, Chutzpah Yesera Hu the Havabei. It was an act of boldness, of chutzpah, but not necessarily an act of shtus, of foolishness. Omar Rav Huna, Braid Rav Yeshua, Uli Edus, Eduso, Edus. Rav Huna says that as far as halach is concerning the ability to testify, even though we said that under 20 that is not familiar with Masa Umatan, his sales are not sales, nevertheless, he is capable of serving as a witness. Omer Mazutra, Lo Amoron, Elo Limitatali. That which we said that he can serve as a witness under the age of 20, that's true with regard to testimony concerning portables, Avo Limakarkoi Lo. But as far as serving as a witness regarding matters of landed property, that no. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice a new geometric form, a triangle form. This is explained on the outside margin under the Mivneh heading, Kushos Sharav Ashi. These will be questions that Rav Ashi raises. We see one over here, and a few lines later we'll see another one, Al Hane'emar Be 3 and 4, on that which is said regarding the crowned shaped halachas numbers 3 and 4, namely Marzutra mentioned something just now. Rav Ashi will raise a question on what he said. That was number 3. And Amemar in number 4, in the coming Gemara, will say something, and Rav Ashi will address that too as well. At this point, Rav Ashi raises his question. Amalei Rav Ashi Lemarzutra, Mai Shno Metatli? Why is it that by Metatli you say that he can testify, Dizvine Zvini, because his sales are legitimate sales? Well, if you're basing the ability to testify on the legitimacy of his sales, Elo Me'ata, if that be the case, then Hodisnan, that which it says in the following Tanaic source, Hapu'utois, Mekhon Mekach, Umemkoron Memkar Bimetatalin. Children that are 6, 7 years old, referred to by the term Pu'utos, their sales are considered sales with regard to portables. Hachinami de eduson edus. Are you going to say that since the Chachamim acknowledge the sales of children 6, 7 years old as being legitimate sales, they could also testify? Amalei. So Marzutra answers, Hasam, in the case of those that are under 13, Bo'ino, we require to fulfill the requirements of testimony the following pasuk, V'omdu shnei ho'anoshim v'leka. That posuk, which deals with witnesses standing to testify, posuk uses the term anoshim, anoshim referring to above age, veleka, and you're lacking that when you deal with kids that are at the age known as pu'utos. Omar amemar, umatonosoi matona. The matona that a ben yud gimel, that a 13-year-old gives from his father's property, is a matona, is binding. Amalei Rav Ashi Lameimar. Rav Ashi says, I have a hard time understanding your halacha. Your halacha, which sanctions the gift of land that an under 20 gives of his father's property. What's the difficulty? Hashtu umazvini de mekabel zuzi. Mind you, in the case of a sale where he receives money, he profits, and this is considered something, the ability to conduct the sale and get money for it, that's considered derech chokhmah. And yet, amris delo, you don't acknowledge, the halacha does not acknowledge the sales of a 13-year-old, namely of an under 20-year-old, dilma moizil umasvin, the fear being that if we sanction his sales, he might sell the property under value. Then all the more so we should not sanction his giving of a gift where he gets nothing for it. Omale, Amemar answers. The Gemara continues with the answer to the top of Kuf Nun Vav Amar Aleph, but in order to complete this point it will be necessary for us to continue with a few more lines. So Amemar says back, you're challenging my teaching of the legitimacy of his matana, and you're challenging it based on the issue of profitability, where there is profit, and yet we say that the sale is no good. Ulitamech, according to you, that are making it dependent on that which has profit. Zovin shavi chamisha b'shisa. Imagine this underage person, this 13-year-old, he's under 20, he sells land that's worth 5 and gets 6 for it, which is a significant profit. Hachinami dizvinei zvini, would you say that we will accept such a sale? That's not so. Elokim luhu l'rabonon. Rather, the reason the Rabbonin were metaking that their sales are not sales. They made an unqualified rule. Sales conducted by children under 20 of landed property are not acceptable sales. The Yanuka mikrofodaite gabizuzi. A child likes cash. He's mikrofodaite, literally, his mind is close to, but means he's easily persuaded by hearing the tinkling of coins. Vi amrizvine zvini. If we would say that the sales conducted by underage children are legitimate, zimnin de mekarkishile zuzi, ozil mazvin the kulu nixi devua, could have a situation where some predatory individual will come and tinkle a few coins in front of the kid, and the child will sell all of his father's properties. Therefore, when it comes to sales, since there is this chashash, since there's this suspicion that the kid will sell at property at all costs, meaning at even minimal costs, the Chazal ruled that we're not going to accept any of their sales of landed property. Avogabi matona, but with regard to giving of a gift, where the child gives a gift, he's giving it and not receiving anything in exchange. How could that be? What's motivating him to give the gift? Ilav the havi lehano amine. If it were not so that he received some kind of great benefit from the individual he is now giving the gift to, lo havi yohiv lematana. This child, this Ben Yud Gimel, namely this underage, under 20 child, wouldn't never have given him the land as a gift. As a result of this realization, namely that gifts are given only because he had already received something that motivates him now to give the gift, Amar Rabbanan Teve Matanosa Matana. The Rabbanan ruled that his gifts of land are acceptable. Ki hechi de le'avidu lehu mili, so as to encourage people to do acts of kindness toward these people. And as a result of the acts of kindness, that will motivate them to give the gifts. With that, we end our shiur for today.